What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
B&A on this Monday morning, recapping your weekend with the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was. Kyrie Irving's ankle injury, pretty ugly. Pretty ugly yesterday. That's a problem for the Nets. They're now in a 2-2 battle with Milwaukee. Phoenix sweeps Denver. Chris Paul's pretty good. NBA playoffs continue. Also, as we've talked about on the way to the top of the hour, Chris Del Conte having a jello shot and having a good time out at Occupy left field last night at the ball game. Texas wins two straight. They're 5-0 now in the postseason. And as Jeff Howe reminded us, they've only trailed for a half inning in this entire tournament so far. I mean, yes, they've had a good draw and they've gotten to play at home, Buck, but they are, when you watch Arkansas get knocked out by NC State, when you see some of the things going on around the country, Texas is playing to a different, is playing to a really high level right now, winning pitch by pitch and inning by inning. To only trail for half inning, pretty impressive. Pretty damn good. And that came last night when Tristan Stevens gave up two runs in the first inning, but Texas responded at the top in the home half with four. So they trailed for that half inning and then put four on the board. They like playing from the front, and that's how they operate. Ty Harrington was with us earlier this morning, and he said, you know, he feels like if they can score four runs, they're going to win most games. I mean, that's kind of his mindset as a coach, and that's why they try to be aggressive and manufacture runs. If they can get to the four, their pitching staff typically will hold that and give them a chance to win the ballgame.
Yeah, they've got everything going in there in the right way for them right now. I mean, on all phases, especially pitching. And as I said, this bracket thing is setting up really nice. Just is.
It is.
And you got to win the games, but it's setting up just nice for them.
Yeah, and it's baseball. So anything can happen. And the fact that they've gone 5-0 and really have never...
Well, anything could happen if they'd lost that game on Saturday.
I know. That's
the thing.
That was a gut punch for sure, but Texas responded to it mm-hmm. with a run of their own. I mean, that's what the response is what you really like. And Jeff alluded to Augie Garrido, and Augie used to always talk about that. You know, when you get punched in the top of an inning, you got to come back. You got to answer, or that team keeps the momentum going.
Right.
People maybe that aren't close to baseball don't realize that. Like in a football game, you can feel momentum swinging, and you know, basketball, in baseball you can too. And boy, if Texas was ever going to get stunned. It was that, you know, two-homer ninth inning that Tanner Witt allowed on Saturday night where you're going in, you're cruising. Witt had gone 1-2-3 in the eighth after replacing Ty Madden in the seventh inning. He had been dominant. Well, then all of a sudden gives up a home run. Okay, no big deal. It's 3-1. Well, then he gives up a double, and then with two outs he gives up the bomb. And it's all of a sudden it's 3-3, and you're thinking, oh, geez.
Now as the group that's got you at home, you're starting to maybe – some guys would pucker up. Some teams would pucker up on that a little bit.
Well, because this is the team playing with house money anyhow.
That's right.
They've gotten Ty Madden out of the game, and now they got a chance to steal game one after really getting right. dominated for nine innings. And Texas responds. And as I mentioned, the other thing is to come back in the bottom of the inning and get the run, and Eric Kennedy's double that scores Silas Ardoin from first. I mean, that's you don't tax your bullpen. I mean, that's you think of these old regional games. Remember, Texas went that 25-inning game the one time. You don't go to extra innings. You don't have to tax your bullpen at all. You get game one. The only bad side of that is Ty Madden didn't get the win. But, you know, either way, you still won as a team. And then you turn around last night, fall behind early, but then dominate from there. After falling behind 2-0, they outscore South Florida, you know, 12-2. En route to a 12-4 victory, and Texas is on to Omaha for the 37th time. And as I mentioned, I started that by saying Chris Del Conte was out there in left field and taking in the game. Do you know that with the Texas baseball, what they've done here to go to Omaha, they have clinched the NCAA's Director's Cup. You know that? Like we know when they add up all the sports.
Oh, yeah, best athletic program
best
of the
athletic
year.
Department. They're going to be the first school other than Stanford to win that since 1994. Stanford wins it every year.
I know.
Because they have all the sports, right? They
right.
play so many sports and they compete in all the Olympic sports. Well, Texas is going to win this thing because they've been so good in every sport. I mean, right now, in that athletic department, the most disappointing program was football this
right.
year. Everybody else, you know, and basketball. At least Shaka Smart's team won the Big 12
That's
tournament
true.
Championship, and They didn't win the regular season, but everything else has just been rock'em sock'em. And now baseball playing into Omaha. Congratulations to Chris Del Conte and the entire athletic department, because that's his bar. You know, that's what he says he believes. We should be competing in the top 10 in the country in every sport, and right now they are, except for football.
And I think in football we'll be able to tell pretty quickly. When the season starts, I think, with the first two games that Texas has to play in this in the football season, the early part of the season, you're going to find out what kind of team you have. I would think this team would build on and on under Sark as the season goes on. It'll get a little bit better, because that's the expectations from me, at least, that I don't think things are coming out like a house on fire. There's a lot of things that this team needs to happen to them early in the season, and they'll build on it because they'll be playing two opponents. And I still believe, once again, I know I'm giving Arkansas way too much credit for a three-win season, but they'll have a second-year coach that is starting to build his program, and a part of that is about toughness and being mentally tough, and they lost some really close ball games in a really tough conference, but they weren't afraid of anybody. And Louisiana for sure won't come in here afraid of playing against Texas next year with all the guys returning on that football team, and they've been winning. They've had a couple years of winning. You're used to winning games, so it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that works out.
Correct. And that's the next sport that needs to kick it up. Chris Beard was out there shooting the cannon last night. I think you feel pretty good about Texas basketball.
I do, because I see the players that are coming here.
Yeah.
Under Chris Beard. And you know he can coach, but if you watch the players that are coming here, damn, they're getting guys from the portal. It looks like they're just getting transfer guys that are good enough to be in the top 15, the top 12 teams in the nation already.
Yeah, and to add to the point about the Longhorn Athletic Department, John Bianco, the SID, the chief over there, Sports Information Director, tweeted this over the weekend. Says, with a seventh-place finish at the NCAA Outdoor Championship team finish by the Texas women's track and field team on Saturday, the Longhorns now have 13 top-10 finishes across all sports in NCAA championship play this season. That is the most in a single season by the Longhorns since they had 13 in 2002-03. So, props.
And guess what one is really going to matter?
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, Texas football last year finished top 25. They went 7-3, but we know where they won a bowl game. Wasn't like they were a terrible team.
Well, Tom Bowl Herman doesn't lose bowl games.
And now, according to Keandre Coburn and some other Texas players, football is fun again. Football is fun again.
I don't care. I don't even care about them telling me about it's fun. I don't care about that. I just win the games, y'all, please. It's fun again. Thank you.
Well, I mean, the mood around the team is so much better than
yes.
It was. I think that's fair to say.
Good, yeah.
And to hear Jeff House talk about the lack of any relationship Tom Herman had with his players and his locker room, that's a problem. I mean, you've got to have a good relationship with your football team. If you're going to ask them, as you say, you can't. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's true.
And if the players don't think the coach cares about them, then that's a problem. Now Tom Herman would tell you he did, but
he did for 1 year. And then the next year he had to be the tough guy, and then he had to be something else. He was different every year.
He's a chameleon, yes.
Yeah,
it wasn't authentic.
Not enough consistency.
Well, remember the first meeting Tom Herman had with the team? He told them how bad they were and how they just got a good coach fired. Was essentially his initial message. And as Jeff Howe reminded us, he called the defensive linemen were fat and.
Well.
These guys were this, and
I never could believe that people believed in the burnt toast and all that other kind of crap.
Here's winners. Winners eat this. Losers eat grub.
Really?
Eat the gruel.
About eating the same and winning the games.
That's hilarious. But yes, I mean Steve Sarkisian, breath of fresh air. I think for a lot of these players, and that can only to me be a good thing. Now, you know, you can't be everybody's friend. That's not what we're saying at all. You got to be disciplined. You got to be a good football coach, but. It is good when the mood is better, and I think we're already seeing that. And you're hearing it on the recruiting trail as well with the Texas Longhorns, because that had gone south for Tom Herman and his staff, the recruiting efforts, because the same relationship issues were out there for him in that front. But, yes, you're right. Football will be the key. Can Steve Sarkisian get this thing back? But everything else, cruising pretty good, and Texas baseball has an opportunity to go do some special things in Omaha because they are – I mean, it's really hard to find blemishes with this baseball team. They're not perfect by any stretch, but they check a lot of boxes. Their offense is excellent up and down the order. They have speed. They can create runs. They can hit for power. And then their pitching staff, they just throw really high-end arms at you over and over again. And it's a great combination because when you're elite defensively in pitching and you can create runs within a lot of different ways and be creative with your offense, you can win a lot of baseball games. And they have. They're 47-15.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to win a lot of football games this year because of the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland. Yeah, man. I hear their wide receiver, the guy who didn't write me a letter back, a personal letter, handwritten back to me. I heard he's looking unbelievable coming off this knee surgery.
OBJ?
OBJ is, from all indications, is looking like a stud. And
well, guess who was out throwing passes to OBJ out at Lake Travis University High School last week?
Wait a minute. Who?
Baker, the touchdown maker, throwing passes like the OBJ. You
were in town? Mayfield.
You were out on Thursday.
Yes,
yeah,
I was.
That story. You were getting ready for the Mullet Open.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. There's a Cleveland Browns tweeted out a picture of our video of Baker throwing routes to OBJ out at Lake Travis University High School.
Dude, if I had known that, I would have gone right there, got right off the show, and went over and said, dude, where is my letter?
That's exactly what we said on Thursday.
I'll
what
be damned.
That was Isaiah Collier's exact quote. I wonder if Bucky can get that letter response that he's been looking for.
I would have gone and asked him.
Why didn't you write me back, dude?
Yeah. How about a little something-something there?
I wrote you a handwritten letter.
He would have said, man, I can get your crap.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that was...
I like that team. I don't want to like that team because I like touchdown maker. He's a money maker. That's what you need to know. But that team right there can net you a lot of cash in Vegas right now. You got to give me the odds of that because they got to be... And they're going to... You know what they're going to do? You know they're going to come down. If OBJ's doing that, it's not going to be, but it's still going to be enough money. Nobody believes they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Here's the problem with that, or the potential.
And I think OBJ.
Problem.
Here's the deal. I think OBJ is going to want to prove. Guess what? This is a team that I can do some good things for. I don't have to be the main person. I don't have to be. I can do my head and shoulder commercials and all that other stuff. I don't have to be so flamboyant.
Maybe
that
you should just move in with Baker at the stadium. Baker and his wife, they could live at the stadium all together.
They got a lot of room,
but plenty of room. But so the interesting thing was, if you watched the Browns last year, when OBJ got hurt, Baker became a better quarterback by every number.
Yes,
and so the question is always: is he forcing the ball to keep him happy, to placate his?
God, he's got a lot of guys to throw to.
And then, your hope, as you're saying, if you're going to bet on it, is that, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. saw that when he was out, they became a better offense, and just be a cog in the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't demand the ball. Baker will throw it to you when you're open. But when you can hand the ball to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt behind an excellent offensive line, when you can throw it to Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham or the tight ends.
That's big plays for you and play action.
And the thing that the Browns did this offseason that really changes the game for me is their defense is upgraded. I mean, we know they have Myles Garrett, but in free agency, they went out and signed the best free agent safety on the market. They drafted the corner out of Northwestern in the first round. They've upgraded their defense, and it continued to upgrade. That's a top-three roster, Buck. I know I say it a lot. That's a top-three roster in the National Football League as far as talent player.
People understand how good they are in defense.
They're excellent. But that was their problem a year ago. Their defense was just okay. If it comes, their offense is phenomenal.
Right.
They, along with the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, those are your best offenses in the NFL right now. Well, Tampa Bay is pretty good, too, by the way. And when 10 touchdown Tom Brady is clicking. But, I mean, as far as dominating run game to go with the play action, there's a reason Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the year. But, I mean, it's Cleveland. Can they build on that? Can they sustain that?
Can make a talented guy like this, and if he's healthy, if you can say you need to be a part of the team because we can do good things if you're a part of it, if you're not thinking about yourself the entire time. And I think he'll go into that. I think Landry's such a better receiver than he is right now. And he's more physical than Odell Beckham is. And he's a guy who could demand the ball a lot. And he doesn't. He just plays the game.
Well, in New York with the Giants, his first four seasons were three seasons.
Incredible.
Were historically good.
That's right.
Historically good. Yards per catch, touchdowns, yardage. He was historically good. And where is that now at his age? I mean, he's still in his late 20s. He's not an old guy. But there he was at Lake Travis University High, doing his thing.
Getting ready.
All right.
Getting ready to write a letter to me.
The Chiefs are still the favorite. And I'm just so fascinated by the entire AFC. I mean, the AFC is so loaded. When you talk Kansas City is the favorite, what Tennessee has done now, Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, upgrading where they are. Indianapolis, the question is Carson Wentz. If he's good, you know they're good. They were in the playoffs a year ago. Buffalo's excellent. Cleveland and Baltimore are excellent.
Yeah, I mean, what if the quarterback at Baltimore really – what if it clicks for him now? That's huge.
Yeah. No, exactly. And who's the best team? I still think it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes is talking about a 20-0 season.
I don't think so, Patrick. There's too many games. 17 games? Are you kidding me? That team's not going undefeated. There's only one team that, to me, has a chance, and that's Tom Brady's team.
Well, and that's the point. And You know, meanwhile, over in the NFC, which was the dominant conference not long ago as far as top-end teams, because when you had New Orleans and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, you know, Russell Wilson, Seattle, I mean, that's now Tom Brady in Tampa, and those are where we were. But now the NFC with Drew Brees retiring, Aaron Rodgers is pitching a fit, and who knows how that's going to play out. You know, Russell Wilson, you know, what are they in Seattle right now with that relationship?
So many stories in the NFL.
Feels like the NFC is all Tampa.
Yeah, and it just...
AFC, I don't know.
And there's just great stories to me that are about to happen unfold. I want to see what is Justin Fields. Is that guy going to be the starter there in Chicago? Chicago's got really good defense. They've been looking for a quarterback since the beginning of time, beginning of the NFL. And what if this guy is the guy that lights the fire? Because we know
Justin Fields, yeah.
We know what they can do defensively. That's still a really good defensive group.
Andy Dalton's their starter. Just remember that. Andy Dalton's their starter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He says when you draft in the top five for 25 years, you should have a great roster.
Yeah.
Well, for the Browns, this year, I think, is, you know, they did the Moneyball thing, right? Remember, they hired the baseball executives, and they stripped the roster. They went, and so they've invested in draft picks, and then they had a bunch of cap space. And this is the year when that should all play out, right? When you have a young quarterback like Baker and the talent on offense, you have a Myles Garrett coming off the edge. You've invested that salary cap space into improving your defense. Yes, I mean, they went Moneyball. Does it pay forward? It becomes the question. And this would be the year to stand. They went toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs a year ago in that playoff game. That game went to the wire and was a tremendous football game. Cleveland's real close.
I here's the thing. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be the reason why the Browns don't get it done. I used to think
he's their ceiling. Like, what if he plays really well, they can beat anybody.
If they can run the ball, they'll beat anybody. If you can't stop them running the ball, his play action and the way he threw the ball around late last year is going to be really good for them.
Well, think about that on play action with Jarvis in the slot, and then here comes OBJ if he's healthy. You know, the fly routes and the things he's so good at. That is a ridiculously good offense. If he's back and healthy and with his head on straight and buying into the team, not OBJ, right?
Well, it's just very similar to when I look at the Texas Longhorns. If they can run the ball really more than just effectively, if they can make you, if they get you on your heels because they're going to run the ball down your throat with number five, and he's making big plays and your offensive line is doing well enough that this guy, just give him a little bit, just give me 6 inches of daylight. Like Gale Sayers used to say, that's all I need, 6 inches of daylight. If you give that guy 6 inches of daylight, he can put so much pressure on your defense. Now, no matter what quarterback, no matter what young quarterback you have, you can find receivers that can be wide-ass open.
Sure.
Because you're not going to let – you don't want to be beat by the run. No football team likes to have the run thrown down their throats. They hate it.
Well, and that's – you know, this is Alabama, but with Steve Sarkisian last year, they were unstoppable because they could run the football with Najee Harris. That sucked everybody up. It's kind of like Tennessee Titans do in the NFL. I mean,
right.
You have to honor the running game. And then that leaves single coverage on the outside, which makes, you know, even good receivers even more dangerous.
Yeah, but,
and now you got Devontae Smith out there and Jalen
right.
Waddle before his injury. Can't stop that.
No, and what it does is you don't get the ball back. You never get the ball.
Yeah.
You only get so many chances. You better do something on the other side with the ball, because once they get it, if they can run with it, the clock runs. They can dink and dunk and do everything. Plus, you had a running back at Alabama that could go line out there wide and catch a million passes.
Another thing we talked about on Thursday when you were getting ready for the Mullet Open was Joel Klatt of Fox Sports saying that he believes Bijan Robinson is the best running back in the nation now, and that if Texas gives him 25 touches a game, they're going to win 10 games, was his assertion.
They still have to block. So
yeah.
I said 6 inches. I didn't mean 2 inches. I meant give me six.
Well, I mean, again, you're spending optimism with Kyle Flood, a new offensive line coach who was the best O-line coach in the nation last year. That's the hope, right, that he can take this group. And Steve Sarkisian was asked after spring, what is he most excited about? He said his lines of scrimmage. He feels like their defensive front is their best and deepest unit on the whole team, but he really likes the veteran experience on the O-line too,
wow.
Especially getting Derek Kerstetter back, and he'll be a veteran on that team, whatever role he serves. But yes, I mean, but if you can get Bijan Robinson and build your offense around him, good things will happen no matter which guy wins the quarterback job.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I'm going to always worry about this offensive line because there's just way too many inconsistencies, whether it was the coach or not. I don't know. I just watched the games. I just watched a bunch of guys that I heard how good they were going to be, and now this is the year they're going to do it.
Their line was a mess last year.
Yeah, they were just kind of
– they were remedial, and that goes to coaching, right? They were remedial in their basic ability to do basic offensive line things.
They were remedial in their talent. That's what they were. I watched them talent-wise. They were very remedial. So it can be what they did, but those players were remedial as players. That's what I watched. That's why the recruitment of the two guys that got away and went to Alabama were very important.
The Brock Myers.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Congrats to Chris Del Conte and the Texas Athletic Department. A lot of good things happening. Director's Cup champs for the first time since 94.
Congrats
94.
On those jello shots, too.
Jello shots.
Yeah,
shooting
man.
The cannon. There was a lot of fun last night at the Dish. Longhorns are Omaha bound. We'll set up the bracket for you and how it's going to play out. There are two more games today to round out the field of eight. Six are in going to Omaha, including the Longhorns. Two more to be decided today. We'll get you details on that, plus preview the NBA games of tonight before the top of the hour. It's a busy Monday. Good, bad, and ugly right here on B&E, live, local, and digital. If you're heading out on vacation, going somewhere this summer, I know you are, take us with you. You got that Horn app. Wherever you go, you'll have us with the touch of a button, also on your smart speaker and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Happy Monday. Good, bad, and ugly. It's 14 June, which would make it Flag Day. Happy Flag Day, everyone. If you don't know what Flag Day is, it celebrates the adoption of the American flag by the Second Continental Congress in 1777.
Sweet.
USA. 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 It's also National Bourbon Day, which celebrates bourbon of all kinds. Used to be a Jack Daniels guy.
Yes, I did back in the day.
Back in the day. Oh, man. Thanks.
Spent a lot of money there, too.
Thanks, everybody, for the... By the way, why is it that, like, in Pennsylvania, where you grew up, that that's a popular thing, a beer and a shot?
They're ridiculous. That goes back to steel workers.
Is that what it is? Because I'm watching this. I've gotten into the HBO show that everybody likes called The Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet. It's really good. And she, you know, wherever they go to the bar, she gets a beer. She gets a Rolling Rock and a shot.
Oh, might as well drink a two. Yeah, Rolling Rock. Man, skunk beer. That's what I used to call it, skunk. You smell like skunk stuff. Terrible. Rolling Rock was no good. You know where it's from? Latrobe.
Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Arnold Palmer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where are the Andretti's from? The racing
Up
family.
In Nazareth, PA.
Nazareth, PA, yeah. Right?
I went to see them. I used to watch them at the Nazareth Speedway, and that was a dirt track. The Andretti's, all the Andretti's used to be there. I used to go to racing and watch the dirt track races.
Nice. I like it. All right. Well, National Bourbon Day, so enjoy some bourbon.
Yeah, some people like the Crown Royal. I've never had Crown Royal before. Once I got in Jack, me and Jack were partners. We never separated. Never tried any of that other stuff.
Oh, man. All right. Well, glad you're with us on a Monday. We're recapping the weekend. Longhorns are bound for Omaha for the 37th time, as we've said a million times this morning, but it bears repeating. And as we said, there are two more games today. And if you're a Longhorn fan, you should be paying attention because these four teams playing today, two of them are going to be on the Longhorn side of the bracket in Omaha. DBU, not Texas. You know, I see Rod Babers in there recording the Longhorn Blitz podcast. He was part of DBU. But this is Dallas Baptist University. Playing Virginia today. Winner advances to Omaha. It's 1-1. And then tonight, 6 o'clock, Mississippi State plays Notre Dame in a deciding game of that Super Regional in Starkville. Winner goes. And that game there, Mississippi, the winner of that game will be the Longhorns' first opponent when they get to Omaha.
Why do I want it to be Notre Dame so bad?
Notre Dame's pretty good. I mean, both of those teams are salty. Texas will be the favorite in their side of the bracket. Tennessee is there already. And remember, you know, it's four teams. So just like the Longhorn four-team regional they played here in Austin, where it's a double elimination.
Right.
You want to stay in the winner's bracket as long as you can. That's exactly what's going to happen in Omaha this weekend. There'll be a four-team regional on, you know, two of them going on simultaneously. And then the winners will meet for the national championship, whoever comes out each side. So the Longhorns don't need to worry about the one side of the bracket at all that features Stanford, who beat up on Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, North Carolina State is over there, and Arizona. Texas will only face one of those teams if they can get through their four-team regional, which will be, again, winner of Dallas Baptist, Virginia today, Mississippi State, Notre Dame winner, and Tennessee.
It also says it's the Army's birthday today.
Ooh, happy birthday to the Army.
Absolutely.
Nice. I like this.
For sure.
This says, E, try Crown Royal Vanilla and Coke.
Ooh. Why waste a Coke? Why waste the vanilla?
That's hilarious.
What's wrong with you?
I saw that video over the weekend of John Daly after a round of golf, and he said, why are you happy with an 84? He's like, well, three bottles of Crown, that ain't bad.
Oh, he's something, man.
You know, I'm happy with that. You know, that's the way that goes. But
I'm looking forward to this weekend's golf too, man. I like when the majors come around. This will be very interesting.
It's going to be a great sports week. Obviously, it's Father's Day weekend coming up.
Yep.
And we're not already looking forward, but you know, we're anticipating what's going to be a really good sports weekend with the U.S. Open teeing off at Torrey Pines, which Phil Mickelson will be the story back in his hometown after winning the PGA Championship, and could he possibly be in contention again? Obviously, Bryson and Brooks will get some headlines.
Brooksy!
And it's West Coast, so we get primetime golf. So the golf will be on in the evenings, which is always fun, right? I mean, it's like 7
and a lot of these guys will be in contention, these California kids that'll be playing.
Well, think of a guy like Xander Schauffele. He's from that area. He'll be a guy that people will talk about this week. And, you know, Torrey Pines is a public golf course.
Morikawa, is he in that also?
Colin Mark, he's a Northern California guy, but yes, great player. So, yeah, I mean, U.S. Open, the United States.
Somebody says
Open
no champ. Tiger, low TV ratings. Really?
Phil's in it, it'll go, and it's prime time. I mean, you know, because of the tee times are so late, it's West Coast time. You know, you'll have golf on at 9 o'clock in the evening.
Thank you.
College World Series, the golf, and then, yeah, also Saturday night, the Austin FC will open up their brand new stadium.
I'm excited. I'm going.
When there's a lot of,
I'm excited. I'm pumped to be there.
You found yourself a ticket. I love it. I need to work on that.
Yeah, man, it's time.
It is time. And what do they played to a 1-1 draw with Sporting Kansas City over the weekend.
They could have very easily had 4 knocked on them that day. It wasn't for the goalkeep.
He was on fire.
Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness. As you said, he was talking about standing on your head. He was on his head and on his elbows.
It's awesome.
He made some great plays. You know, I've been watching, and I do watch European soccer. That what's going on, the Euro 2020 is
UEFA Euro Cup. Yeah. Man, it's just such a different level of soccer.
It's a different world, yes.
It's the best players you're gonna in the
see.
World,
yes.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So that was part of the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend.
And the ugly was the shooting downtown, which is, you know, you bring your recruits into this, and then on Saturday night they have this happen. So just be aware of your surroundings at all times. Just keep your eye open the time.
One suspect in company, and or in custody, I should say.
Yeah.
And the reports are that the one suspect they have is a juvenile. Like, when this comes out, you're going to hear that
it's
this
ridiculous.
Was a teenager, you know, with a gun.
Randomly shooting people.
Randomly. And the one person who was killed was vacationing from New York, just in from out of town, down on 6th Street. Yeah, senseless.
It's too bad.
Senseless as it can possibly be.
Yep.
For sure. But yeah, thoughts and prayers. Absolutely. That is far and away the ugliest story of the morning on a good, bad, and ugly Monday on B&E. All right, Isaiah Collier, NBA playoffs over the weekend. Obviously, the Phoenix Suns are through to the Western Conference Finals. Chris Paul, just brilliant yesterday.
Anything wrong with that guy's shoulder now? Is that all?
Remember, it was just a contusion, so it was it had to heal. But he's back to 100%. He had 37 points yesterday. This guy's so good. Just getting better with age, it feels like. And then, you know, they're going to play the winner of the Utah Clippers series. Clippers won a game, so it's 2-1. You know, a road team has not won a game in that series yet. Meanwhile, over in the East, Brooklyn and Milwaukee are 2-2, and the Knicks are still battling with the Atlanta Hawks. What stood out to you over the weekend, Zay, from the hoops?
Well, obviously, Kyrie Irving getting hurt and now seeing what Brooklyn has to do to, you know, I guess, compensate for that. And it really starts with, you know, Milwaukee's focus on Kevin Durant these last few games. I know everybody saw the rift between him and P.J. Tucker, but P.J. Tucker, he did a hell of a job yesterday. And
P.J. was knocking down the threes, too.
Yeah, P.J. looked really good. And at the end of the day, you know, if they're not going to have Kyrie or James Harden, which Steve Nash said, you know, James Harden's still a step away, then it's going to get real difficult for the Nets because Blake Griffin didn't look good. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks finally realized, oh, Giannis, just attack. Keep attacking. If they stop you, it doesn't matter. Just stay, you know, keep that foot on the gas pedal and keep attacking. And that's what they did these last few games.
Yeah, Blake Griffin looked 2 steps slow.
Yeah.
Like he was that older player that he is.
That's what you mean when you're playing a great offensive team, which Brooklyn is, but you typically want to make them play defense. You want to go at them and, you know, take them out of their comfort zone and really attack and, you know, see if they can play some defense. And they have not in these last two. But again, that series is chalk at this point. A road team has not won a game. My home team still, you know, they're just holding serve essentially at this point. You know, who blinks? And we know in a 7-game series that game 5 back in Brooklyn is always the most important game. But to Zay's point, you know, if you have no James Harden and no Kyrie Irving for that game, Milwaukee, if they could steal that on the road and then come back home with a chance to close out in six because of the injuries. I mean, that's been the fear for Brooklyn the whole time, right, is injuries. Can they stay healthy enough? And James Harden re-aggravated his hamstring, and now Kyrie Irving. And you weren't sure if Giannis didn't stick that foot there intentionally.
I'm telling you, that size 20 got it right there, right on, when he's up in the air. He seemed to slide it out.
It's the Greek freak, baby.
He's got better positioning than the way he had slid his foot out there, too. So he but he does have a big foot. He takes up a lot of
he's
the lane.
He's a large human being, anyway.
Yeah,
he's a seven-footer.
Yeah. And, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but his footwork wasn't as good as he normally is for him.
Who was that, Zay, that was it, Zaza Pachulia? He used to do that, didn't he?
Oh, oh yeah, how he did Kawhi.
Did Kawhi
yes.
for the Spurs? Back
Spurs fans love Zaza.
Yeah, when he undercut him as he was coming down. And, oh, no, look, Kawhi's out now. See ya. Hey, by the way, on the U.S. Open, should they pair Brooks and Brooksy and Bryson? Because, of course, Bryson DeChambeau is the defending champion of this tournament.
But they're all champions, right? Are they both all? Isn't that what they both won U.S. Opens, right?
Yes.
I don't
I put
know.
Them together.
Right, like right
Wouldn't
off
it be
the
good
bat.
For golf.
Nah, I don't know.
Come on. Talk about TV ratings. If you have Phil and you got these two guys playing together on the
now,
first
now
two
if
days,
they're playing well.
Oh yeah,
I want to see. I just want to see the little deals that they do to each other. You know,
sure.
Like one's taking forever to putt, and the other guy's rolling his eyes, and
oh yeah, be good.
Wanting to punch him in the face. You know,
yeah. Put Phil with those two. Remember?
Well, and here's the thing that if people don't understand what's going on with the PGA and this whole thing with DeChambeau and Brooksy there, you know.
Hey, Brooksy!
The PGA has put out some deal where you win a huge amount of money if your social media is the highest of all the social medias.
Right.
And so Brooksy, a guy who never gets on social media, is now chatting and talking and doing, because he knows he can make a huge amount of money. And it's some ridiculous number, like $40 million that's divided out there to the social media darlings out there. And for a guy who never really used to say anything, and now he likes this deal going on with DeChambeau. It's almost like this is a setup, you know? Does he really dislike the guy? Yeah, I believe he really dislikes him, but I don't know. I think it's a money thing with Brooksy now. I can get a lot of money. I can gather up a lot of cash. Now, I already have a lot of money, but if you look it up, it's some ridiculous amount of cash that you can get.
Yeah, it's the PGA Tour's $40
bonus?
Million bonus pool. It's to drive engagement.
Right.
Like one player won't get the 40, right? They're going to spread it out over the ones who are doing it the most. But at the same time, look, there's a reason we're on Twitch. There's a reason we're on social media. On top of the PGA Tour wants, look, they understand without Tiger Woods, there needs to be a push. And so, yes, creating content with
But it's
golf,
fake and phony and everybody can see it.
Well, I don't think they like each other. And I think what we saw at the end of the PGA Championship was legitimate and genuine that Bryson DeChambeau is not a big fan or that Brooks Koepka is not a big fan.
Yeah, but with Koepka talking, saying, this is great for golf, it doesn't do anything. I mean, I don't know if it's great for golf.
Well, you're 65. They're trying to attract a younger audience. And
that wants them to fight, like get in the ring and fight each other?
Or at least believe that they don't like each other and let's see what happens. And, Bryson's a, you know, especially with the young set, as we talk about the way he's changing the game and the way he, you know, you go out to a driving range, you see all these young kids trying to swing just like Bryson DeChambeau these days. You know, and he's the defending champion of this tournament. So,
yeah, I'm 65. I try to swing like him too.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she's only going
I'm
180.
Saying with the engagement side, the same thing we're doing here at the radio station. You have to engage young people where they are. They're not watching television. Young people don't watch TV. Young people watch videos. They watch TikTok. They watch their phone. That's where you have to be. And that's why the PGA Tour, all sports are doing it, because that's your future audience. And if you're not in that realm,
mm-hmm.
You're not reaching people or the future. So you have to be in that, and that's why they're offering the cash. And look, I mean, Brooks went on to his social media and did a thing for Michelob Ultra. Like, he gave away a bunch of beer for people who did things. I mean, so sponsors love it. You know, it's engaging the younger set.
I may be old, but I do not like the harassment of players that play.
I don't either.
That are out there. I think that's Bush. I think that's Bush of Koepka to pay money for guys to harass him, because – I don't want the game to get out of hand where a bunch of clowns in the you know, as you're in your backswing, you're going, Brooksy!
Yeah.
They're already goofballs that do it anyway.
Yeah.
We can't stand getting a hole guy.
No. I mean, I think there needs to be a golf bouncer for sure at these tournaments.
A golf bouncer. There's social right there.
Golf bouncer.
Bring your own bouncer.
Yes.
The Nets bouncer needs a new job.
Yeah. Oh, did he get fired?
Yeah.
The guy that jumped in the Durant-Tucker skirmish?
Yeah, he was actually one of KD's former bodyguards.
Oh, great.
So he needs a gig.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about the what went on at the PGA Championship shouldn't happen. I mean, they shouldn't. Those guys should be removed.
Yeah, but you're asking it to happen. You're asking those things to happen. You like when things go on and somebody said, "Well, you know, we really didn't. They should have known better." Well, you're trying to antagonize people for these things to happen to people. It's going to happen this weekend.
Well,
you know,
one morning and you're out, Mr. Getting the Whole Macaroni and Cheese guy, mashed potatoes.
Oh no, I've got to hear Matt. You know, they quit doing mashed potatoes. Why did they quit mashed potatoes? That was a good one.
That was a good
right?
one.
Right? That was a good one. They quit doing
and
that.
And there's got to be judgment. There's got to be a line. But yeah, if you're going Brooksy and you're you know harassing a player, that can't happen. He's got to be removed. But
dude,
if
it's
saying,
still golf. It's still a gentleman's game. We still like the good parts about golf. I don't want to see golf fights. Now, if you told me those two were going to tangle in a ring, that's better than seeing what I saw with last week with Ron Paul fighting.
Logan Paul or whatever. By the way, did you know Lamar Odom had a fight last night? I don't know what's happening in our world. Lamar Odom.
The guy who was
the
one-time
eggplant.
Come on.
After his weekend at the Bunny Ranch.
Where they took his credit cards and went crazy on his credit cards.
Hey,
Lamar, you stay asleep. We'll take your credit cards.
It's on file. Yeah,
wow.
No, he had a fight with Anthony Davis.
Aaron Carter.
Oh, Aaron Carter. Who's Aaron Carter from one of the boy bands?
Yeah, he's Nick Carter's little brother, the one that was in the Backstreet Boys.
He fought with one of the Backdoor Boys?
Again, he's not a Backstreet Boy. He's one of the Backstreet Boys' younger brother that used to sing when he was a kid, which was like 15 years ago.
Come on. And so, isn't he like a foot taller?
Yeah, it was. Aaron Carter was a little outclassed.
Just a little Lamar bit. Odom, what is this celebrity boxing thing? Let's get a break. We'll come back and reset the top stories, tee it up for the rest of the day here on the Horn, and hand it off to Light the Tower. A lot to do. B&E on a Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good stuff this morning. Coming up next, more good stuff. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with Light the Tower. Craig, of course, had the call with Keith Moreland over the weekend. Longhorns off to Omaha. Just talked to Craig during the break. He thinks the Texas's first game is likely to be Sunday in Omaha. And they'll play, of course, the winner of tonight's Notre Dame-Mississippi State game in their first matchup. So be watching those two teams tonight. That's who the Longhorns will face in game one in Omaha. Schedule will be finalized tomorrow. Tennessee and then the winner of the Dallas Baptist-Virginia game will also be on the Texas side of the bracket. That will be decided starting at noon today. You know who's struggling? I just heard the commercial with Chad about low T. You know who's got the low T right now, Buck?
Who's that?
The Yankees. The janky Yankees. Your Yankees. Low T. What's going on? Is he Aaron Boone snapping at people?
Don't worry. Struggling.
He won't be there after the All-Star break. I got the last guy fired. This guy's going.
Oh, by the way, they just got swept by the last guy, Joe Girardi and the Phillies.
He's going. He's going after the All-Star game. This guy's going too.
33-32 the Yankees on the year. They've lost 7 of 10.
I need an old Yankee coach to come by. Now, if Joe Torre can come back and coach, there's got to be an old Yankee somewhere.
The Yankees have a run differential of -7. They've been outscored this year. Tampa Bay has a +84 run differential. Tampa Bay is the best team in baseball right now at 42-24. Ridiculous what they're doing.
I'm going to have to bring Bernie Williams back.
Ooh, I don't think he likes to play the guitar.
He does. He's a guitar
player.
Managing
anyone.
No, he's a jazz dude.
Jazz dude?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Yankees have low T. I'm just saying.
I don't care if Roger Clemens comes back and coaches them all. I'm serious.
Listen, we had Roger on recently. Roger gets paid pretty good to do motivational speeches and speak at corporate. He's a fiery guy.
I can see him at the Yankees. Do you see him going to the mound to take a picture out of
some
a game?
Heads.
Oh, that's what they need.
Throwing bats at people.
They got all those muscular guys.
Says, can they bring back Billy Martin
again?
No,
they can't. Don't. There's nothing left of Billy.
Billy has passed away.
A long time ago.
But, Girardi and those Phillies took it to him.
They did, I know. Same Everybody's record. Taking it to him. They're terrible.
How can they have that payroll and be that bad? That's concerning if you're Aaron freaking Boone. But, by the way, come on, man. Ask a better question. One of the media guys, and I know we were trying to elicit a reaction sometimes. He asked him, are you guys getting used to losing?
And it was a dumb question.
It is a dumb question.
That's the one where you have a possibility of getting smacked in the face right there. That's the one you're asking for one, to ask a question like that.
With you. Also over the weekend, how about, was it Novak Djokovic?
Dude, I wish I would have seen that match on Friday. Somebody told me against Nadal. I know the Joker won, but somebody said Friday's match was incredible.
Yeah,
we were at the Mullet getting after Open. Yeah, man, I love
some now saying
that
again. The Joker's the GOAT. The Joker's greatest male tennis player. I don't know if that's true, but I'm reading this story right here.
It's still going to take a while for me to believe that Djokovic is better than when Federer was at his
Well, he's got legendary wins over Federer and Nadal.
Yeah.
Head-to-head. I don't know. Chad Hastings will weigh in on that when he gets a chance because he's the tennis guy.
Yes, for sure.
I am not the tennis guy. All right, so we've got a lot going on. Coming up, it's Light the Tower. As we said, the games today, noon and 6, determine the rest of the Longhorn bracket in Omaha.
Hey, look forward to a lot more commercials by Chris Paul. A lot more State Farm.
Dude, I didn't have a team. I was rooting for the Mavericks until they were out because I like Texas teams.
Yeah.
And I like Luka. But I'm all in on Phoenix now, which means they're not going to win. But Chris Paul, I would love to see Chris Paul get a ring.
You're going to see from this point on if they win commercials with Jake.
Hey, good for him.
That's right.
State Farm is happy.
They are, for sure, man.
Well, are they trying to phase out the Aaron Rodgers thing? Because he's such a...
Yeah, he's going to be gone.
Interesting guy. What is it that the president of the Packers said about Aaron Rodgers over the weekend? He's a complicated guy. Yeah, he is. He's very complicated. He's a diva.
I believe that's saying we're going to move on without you.
We'll see. Tough to do. He was the MVP of the league, for crying out loud. Hey, everybody, have a wonderful Monday. We'll do it again on a Tuesday. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins dark and early at 6 a.m. I encourage you to join us if you've missed any part of this show, including our conversation with Ty Harrington. Also, Jeff Howe breaking down the Longhorn recruiting weekend. You can check it out on the podcast every hour right there at hornfm.com. Buck, good luck at poker tonight.
Oh, that's right. It's poker night.
Take some money from your buddies. Isaiah Collier, thank you very, very much. Everybody have a great Monday. Light the Tower is next.